We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
Psalm 86, continuing in my project, hoping one day to have preached all 150 psalms. I have made it this far to number 86, and there's a few that I've preached in advance, 90, 116, 136, a few that are already out there done, but making progress in that direction. This particular psalm, I'm unable to get as much background information as I usually like to get. We know that it is a prayer of David. It says so in the heading, but we do not know or have any particular way to find out on what exact occasion David offered this prayer, what it was that was disturbing him, because if you read the whole thing, something was plainly disturbing him, and he wanted to pray to God about it. What the thing was in general terms is not a mystery, and I won't read the whole psalm to you, but you can read it. He was surrounded by hostile nations and powers, all of whom wished him ill and seemed to have the ability to bring that ill about. They had the military, they had the weapons, they were ready, and they wished David and Israel no good. And if you look even on the map today, you will note that Israel is a tiny little country surrounded by larger powers. And it's one thing to know that you can look back either in history or in your own limited experience and say, I remember when we were confronted with this people, how God saved us and gave us an improbable, if not impossible, victory. And when we were confronted with those circumstances, how God acted and overcame circumstances that we had no idea how to confront. It's one thing to remember these things, and it's another thing to be confronted with the brand new army, bristling with weaponry, front lines now visible to you, and somehow not be concerned. And David was concerned. And he was praying for God to act again, to give some sort of sign, some act of power that would persuade these hostiles around them to regard Israel and David himself as God's chosen and back off. This was David's concern. This was David's prayer. The distress that David was feeling is more than just familiar to us. We'll take a quick poll here. How many of you were, shall we say, concerned about events earlier in this year regarding the United States of America and Afghanistan? How many of you have had at least a moment's thought and worry about events currently happening on the border between Russia and Ukraine? How many of you have had thoughts of a negative sort concerning China's intentions toward Taiwan? How many of you have been worried about Iran developing nuclear weapons specifically because of their intentions toward Israel? Okay? How many of you have just worried about North Korea for everything? How many of us have been troubled by the development elsewhere of hyper sonic missiles to which we have no particular answer. How many of you have wondered, even if COVID is not that, if it doesn't underlie the possibility of germ warfare, which could decimate entire populations just like that and render us helpless? All these things are happening around the world, and we seem to be, maybe this is just our perspective because we live here, but it seems to me that we, the United States, are kind of stuck in the middle of this whole thing. We could take our ball and go home, but where would we go? To get out of the midst of all these hostilities, all these dangers, all these terrible woes and troubles. The world is just a hot mess. And we are stuck in the very middle of it. So the distress that David felt is more than familiar to us. Now sometimes, with several of the Psalms, you can start reading, and especially if you stop in the early portion of several Psalms, you could develop the idea that David was something of a whiner, that he was always complaining, always worrying, always voicing his concerns. But you know, the whole purpose of prayer is to be able to pour out your fears and your concerns before God so that being so emptied, He can pour something better back in. And as a general thing, if you read the first portion of a psalm where David is expressing his fears and concerns, by the time you get to the end, David is expressing his praise and his confidence in God. And he does that in Psalm 86, again, I'll leave you to read the whole thing on your own, but he makes that transition. And in making the transition, he also says something that I regard as prophetic. And that's the verse that I read for you. Psalm 86, verse 9. I will read it again. All nations whom you, capital Y, have made, shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. Now that's a prophecy, something that David said is going to happen. And it's a big prophecy, big, big prophecy. All the nations are going to come together and worship God and glorify His name. And David says some other things that are completely in unity with the entire drift of Scripture in this. He says that God made all the nations, all of them. You know, we forget this. The nations of the earth do not just arise by some kind of haphazard, happenstance, social evolutionary process. If you read the 17th chapter of Acts, it is not the only expression of this truth, but it is the clearest one. Read the 17th chapter of Acts. It says that God determines the habitations and boundaries of all nations. And He does it with a particular purpose in mind, so that whether this is what the nations intend or not, the ultimate effect of their national actions will be that it becomes easier for people to find God. God establishes all nations. And He has a purpose for their existence. All the nations, which by the way God made, will come and worship you. And David says it emphatically, confidently. This big, enormous, so unlikely seeming, prophetic statement. G.K. Chesterton, apologist of an age now past, but still one of my favorites, among his many works, wrote a book called The Everlasting Man. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not a light read. You will not stroll through this work in an afternoon, but I would recommend to anyone reading it, just be prepared to take your time and think about things. But among the other things that Chesterton says in The Everlasting Man is this: all the peace that we have known in this world grows from this principle. You don't kill each other at the shrine. When you come together to worship God, the killing must stop. If only for that moment. Chesterton maintains, and I believe a historical examination will find it to be true, all such peace as we have known in this world grows from this central truth. You must not kill one another at the shrine. How many of you remember that wonderful, true, historical Christmas story about the Second World War? The singing of Silent Night, which led the German and American troops to lay down their arms for just a moment and come out for just that. They would go back to war tomorrow. But for that moment, in the common presence of God, to be brothers was a prophetic moment, because it illustrates what David is talking about. And it is consistent all throughout Scripture. I cannot take the time to give you every Scripture that relates to this, but let me acquaint you with a couple. If you go back to the 19th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, particularly if you read the 23rd verse, it talks about this, that God is leading to the day when Egypt and Israel and Syria, these three powers laid out in a line, south to north, north to south, depending on which end you start on, which have always been hostile toward each other, which have continually been at war with one another, these three, Syria, Israel, Egypt, will worship God together, three brothers, at one altar. Let me give you another and bigger one if you want to skip clean to the end. Read Revelation chapter 21, verse 26, where we are told that in that world to come, when the new Jerusalem has come down, that the glory and the honor of all the nations will be brought into the city to bring praise to God Almighty. What a day that would be. And I want you to understand that there is glory and honor among the nations now. And I recognize that there is also cruelty and horror and exploitation and abomination among all the nations. But there is also glory and honor among all the nations. How many of you can think of several places you would like to go just to see the beautiful architecture? How many of you can think of art and music that you appreciate from several of the nations of the earth? Now I want you to think for just a minute, how much of that architecture is cathedrals, churches, shrines? How much of that music has to do with worshiping God? Do you see where the glory and the honor comes from? There is kindness among the nations. And there is obedience to God among the nations, even as there is cruelty and disobedience. Christmas Eve, if you were here, I referenced Nietzsche, bad guy. But there was also Tolstoy. And if you don't know who I'm talking about on either hand, you come to me or do a little research on your own. It's not hard to find out. But there was Nietzsche and there was Tolstoy. There has been, there is, and there will be glory and honor among the nations. And it is already irrevocably tied to the purposes of God in those nations. And the day is coming when all else about every nation, every power and institution in this current creation will become dust and ashes, but the glory and the honor will live forever, brought into the new creation to praise God. That day is coming. God separated the nations. Go back and read the 11th chapter of the book. I know I'm giving you a lot of reading. 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, the Tower of Babel. God separated the nations because we became intent on this idea that we should be our own gods. That is the cause of the divinely enforced separation of the nations of this world, that we were intent on becoming our own gods. And God will unite the nations on the day that the next truth of Psalm 86 comes to pass. I will read verse 9 again, and this time add verse 10. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Do you follow me? The nations were separated because we determined that we should be our own gods. The nations will be united again on the day when we all realize He alone is God. And that day is coming. Will I live to see it? Well, the answer is probably not, and definitely yes. Follow me. Will I stand before you today and assert that in the 2 decades or so that is probably the maximum amount of time that I have left in this life? Will I stand before you today and assert that in those little handful of years, all the nations are going to lay down their arms and come before God as brothers because we have realized that He alone is God? I will not make such an assertion. This body will almost certainly go down to the grave without seeing that happen. So the first answer to the question, will I live to see this day, is probably not. But the second answer is definitely yes, because whatever happens, I will live again. The risen Christ will call me forth, and I will see the glory and honor of the nations brought into the presence of God in the New Jerusalem. I will most definitely see it with my own eyes. That day is coming. Hope for the time in between, for the hot mess of a world in which we live, for the constantly new threats to safety and security that arise. even if in my lifetime the nations cannot be brought together under the umbrella of the worship of the one God, which alone can bring them peace, there is no other avenue that leads to peace. And there is a reason that Jesus is called, among other things, the Prince of Peace. But if that can't happen in my present lifetime, this can. My heart can be united with the heart of God. Your hearts can be united with the heart of God. And there will be between all of us whose hearts are so united, unity and peace. This can happen today. This can describe our coming experience of 2022. I will read the passage again, and this time add verse 11. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to honor your name. This can happen today. The other big promise will happen. That day is coming. But our hearts can be united to honor the name of God right now. And in my family, in this congregation, in this community, if we will have it, there can be peace.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.